I'm glad to be in his house. I'm glad to see each and every one of you here. And you know, I've been meditating and I try to listen to what God wants to say, because Kelly can get up here and say something, but it'd be better if God could get up here and say something. And you know, as I was trying to feel out what God wanted last night, he said, Kelly, when you preach tomorrow, it's going to be like fire coming onto the hearts and souls of men and women. And I'm going to tell you something today. There is something going on where every single thing that can be shaken, it is being shaken right now. See, have you had times in the last 3 or 4 months where you've been sitting in your house and all of a sudden the devil try to get you offended at somebody? All of a sudden you begin to relive some things that was said to you. All of a sudden you're beginning to rehash things that are in your past. I want to tell you something right now, that the devil, he is stirring up people. He's shaking you. He's trying to get the carpet and pull it out from under you. And I want to tell you something. God is also doing a shaking. He's also doing a shaking. Everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. And I pray right now in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for your word. God, I will not ask for you to bless it, because God, it's already blessed. But God, what I will ask is that God, let it fall on good ground right now in Jesus' name. God, I take authority over every hindrance that would come and try to steal the word, God, from these men and women that have come to receive it. Lord, I thank you, and I bind up the spirit of addiction right now in Jesus' name. I bind up the spirit of hypocrisy right now in Jesus' name. God, I ask that you would stir people up. God, bring them back to your house. Lord, I ask that you would allow situations to come up in their life, God, to get them right back where they need to be. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I said, you know, there is a shaking going on. That's talked about when it talks about the last days. We're in the last days. Are you ready? Are you ready to go? Are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you ready to answer for everything that you've said and done? Are you ready? You know, sometimes I sit and I wonder, Lord, you could have picked a whole lot better people to do this, because God, I've been raised up in the ministry, and quite frankly, my give a darn is plumb busted. I don't sugarcoat it. I won't sugarcoat it, because look here, that don't work. It just doesn't. If it worked, we'd do it. It doesn't work. So I'm ministering today. Are you being shaken? Are you shakable? Let's go to Psalms chapter 16. We're going to look at verse 8. Here's some key things that I want to hit on right now. We all have areas in our lives that we have not submitted to God. We have areas in our lives where we have not turned them over to God. We have areas in our lives where we have not submitted them and committed them to the Lord. The Word of God says, I'm coming and I'm going to judge my people. I'm going to deal with the church. I'm talking to every believer today. And I'm telling you, if you are in open sin, I'm going to tell you to stop. There's sin. And when we sin, we may not realize, Mama Brenda, that we're sinning. God will reveal it to us. There's something called willful sin. When you continually, habitually, consistently live in sin in any type of way, God is telling the believer that your time is for that is running out. My son is coming back. What are you going to be like when he gets there? It's hard to preach these messages. Why? Because they don't win me any brownie points. It is what it is. What we're trying to do here in the last days is gather up souls, not win brownie points. This girl's trying to stop them brownies anyway. Because I can't have Brother Jeremy showing me up. He already is. Y'all give Brother Jeremy a hand. He has lost a lot of weight. He sure looks handsome. Psalms chapter 16 and verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. I got to ask you today, have you set God before you? Because the Word of God says, if God is for you, who can be against you? If God be for you, who can be against you? The problem is the believer is in open sin. I'm not talking to people that ain't saved in here today. I'm talking to the believer. Why are we having this discussion? Because time is running out for you to keep on giving nonsense excuses for sin. If you're listening to me on streaming right now, God is ringing your doorbell. Why? Because He loves you. Because He loves you. Many people see God as a mean God waiting to bash them over the head for everything that they've done wrong, and that is not the God that we serve. But the God that we serve, He's coming back. He's sending His Son. He's coming back. We got to be ready. We got to be ready. And it says, I have set the Lord always. Everybody say always. Always. The Word of God also says, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. In all of your ways. See, God is an all or nothing God. He says, I'd rather you be cold or hot, but it's the lukewarm people that I can't stand, and I'm going to spew them out of my mouth because I'm sick of that. People need to understand that it's decision time. And when you refuse to make a decision about your life, that is your decision. Many people are on the fence. And what they're saying, Miss Mary, is this right here. God will understand. He will. He will. Why are we talking about these things? Because, Andy, there's a day that I'll stand before God. And when I do, look here, what I want to say is, God, my hands are clean. I said exactly what You wanted me to say. I did exactly what You wanted me to do. God, I stood in the times that I thought were going to break me down. And God, I stood anyways because You did. You helped me to stand. Look here. You want to talk about a hellacious 2 or 3 years? I've lived that. I've lived it. And I've also stood through it. I've also stood through it. I've wanted to pull some major shenanigans in those past 3 years myself. Look here, I did a couple number twos or threes. I'm not going to say I didn't pull some. I'm just going to say them number nines and them number tens, I cut them out, okay? Look, I'm not asking for perfection, but I'm trying to appeal to the believer because what I see in this time, and it's not just this church, it's the church as a whole. The church as a whole. Oh, I'm okay, you're okay. No, let's keep that real. You're not okay, and I'm not okay. I'm not okay, and you're not okay. Let's stop living that lie. See, that's what the devil wants to get us to doing is smoothing over every sin that we've got. No, see, God wants to point it out, and He wants to say, you're going to have to stop that. That's the thing that's going to stand in between me and you. And it says here, I've set the Lord always before me. If God's for you, who can be against you? So I'm going to say to you, put God first. Put God first. Put God first. You know how many excuses for all the things that I've heard? Oh my gosh. I should have started July the 28th in 2019 when the very first day that Jeremy and I took over the church, because I could have had a really good book right about now. Because I just about heard it all. Let me tell you something. Excuses, excuses. Brother Tommy sings a song about excuses. You hear them every day. The devil will give you a new one every day. Look here. There's a day. Nobody knows the day and nobody knows the hour, but what we know is there is a day. The Word of God says, God, teach us to number. Number. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. God, teach us to number our days. See? Have you just gone through a catastrophe? Let me tell you something. God knew every single moment that led up to that day of destruction in your life. What also does God know? God knows the number of days standing in between you and your victory. That's what he knows. I'm trying to appeal to the believer because I'd like to see some last day victories. God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever he did for you yesterday, he can certainly do it again. Whatever he worked out, the mountains that he moved, he can move them again. But why have God keep moving the same mountain in your life? Isn't that redundant? If God said, now, you're going to move the same pile of dirt every day, you would get tired of that. It's time to move on. Time to move on. God got you up out of a pit and he drug you out. Don't get back in that pit. The things that we're all justifying. When I say all, Michelle, I mean all. I have things in my life that God's not pleased with. Amen? What's good for the goose is good for the gander. What's good for the pastor is good for the church person. There's not a difference. The only thing that Jeremy and I are that's the difference, Stephanie, is God said, now these two are going to stand on the front line. We'll take the brunt. We'll lead the pack. That's it. So I've set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. See, when you set God first, when you put God above you, when you put God above your family, when you put God above your children, when you put God above your job and you say, God, you're going to have your way. When you put him first. See, God's not some second place God. When you put him second, third, fourth, fifth, everything, what I've learned, and I've learned it the hard way, everything that you put above him that's going. God ain't protecting it. God ain't sitting there holding it all together. Why? Because, see, he's a jealous God. He will not have any other gods before him. It's time for the believer to let every idol go. What's idol? Well, you tell me, what are you putting before God? See, for me, I could name them off for my own self. Can you? If you can't, you need to focus on that because it's holding you up. So I've set the Lord always before me, and because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. See, there's a shaking going on. It's undeniable. This is like the perfect storm. And I'll explain a couple scenarios to you. There's a pandemic going on. The world's really not lived through one of those like we're living through it today. I've thought, God, why did you call us to do that? Ever since day one, there's just been trouble the whole time. God's equipped me for this. My whole life. Because one thing that God knows is that I love him so much, I'll do it. I'll say it, and I'll do it. And it don't matter who likes it, and it doesn't matter who don't. We got to adapt that type of behavior because there's going to be people, and they don't like the turn that you're trying to make. They don't like what you're trying to do with your life. They don't like that you're putting God first. Isn't it amazing? When you make your decision to put him first, everything's going to try to get up in first place. That's how it is. That's how it is. The devil knows when you put God first, you're unstoppable. There's areas in all of our lives that don't line up with God's word. We got to do something about it. It's not just enough to recognize it. You're calling yourself a believer? Be a believer. Get rid of those secret sins. Get rid of those open sins. Next place for me is Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. We're talking about a shaking this morning. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken right now. And what I've got to ask you is, are you being shook? Let me tell you something. In the past 2 or 3 years, I feel like if I can just hold on to the hair on my head, I'm going to be doing good. Because I've been shook every which way, but I don't know what. Look here. When I was a kid, there used to be a skating rink up in Midway. We used to go there sometimes when we had been good enough to go, which wasn't too often for me. Keeping it real. In the middle of the skating rink was a mechanical bull, and it had a cage. You used to pay a couple dollars. You'd go get on that bull, and that they'd make that bull buck you every which way but loose. Well, that's how I would explain 2020. I mean, I have had some moments. Have you had moments in 2020? Have you had moments where you said, God, I'm just about to give up? Have you had moments where you've said, God, I can't take anymore? Have you had moments where you've said, God, I don't know what I'm about to do, but it ain't good? I've had moments where I've sat by myself and just grieved. I've had moments where I felt like I was lonely. I've had some bad moments. But what I can say is this right here. God said, for every believer, if you'll put your hand to the plow, you need to move forward. Because if you put your hand to that plow and you start looking back, you start questioning everything that God has allowed, you're not fit. That's what the Word of God says. I didn't say it, but I'm repeating it. I'm telling you to get up on that bull called life, take it by the horns, and don't let it buck you off. Is the devil trying to get you off? Yeah. Why? Because Diana, his days are numbered. They're all numbered. That's why the Word of God, it tells us, God. See, it was David, and he was praying, God, teach me to number my days. See, you get in a situation, and you feel hopeless, you feel helpless, you feel depressed, you feel like it's always going to be that way. It's not. What you're going through is not permanent. If it was, Isaiah would have never been written. Because what does he say? He says, I'll walk you through the fire. I'll walk you through the water. When it tries to overtake you, I won't let it. When the enemy comes in like a flood, I'm going to raise up the biggest standard because I'm not going to let anything mess with you. But you know what? The time of willful, knowingful sin is over. It's got to be over. Because look here, this world that we're living in, this is not our home. We're passing through, and it's about to be over. Why am I teaching the same thing week after week? Because I want you to be ready. See, the shepherds see something bad coming from afar off, and they know. Look here, get your life ready. Get that stuff out of your life. Stop living that way. Stop doing that thing. Stop flirting with disaster. I don't have to go very far to know what people's doing. All you got to do is get up on Facebook. And darn it, they done took the mobile patrol. Shame on them. Here, see how many of y'all's in there. I had to start the jail ministry back up just to go visit some people. I don't know if they've been backslidden or they just in jail. I'm about to find out. So let's go to Haggai chapter 2 and verse 6. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations. Does it look like things are being shook? It ain't just Arkansas, and it ain't just America. All nations. Here's a good picture of what's really going on. We got a nasty virus from the pit of hell. Look here. God allowed it. I hope we ain't got none of them people that are like, well, why did God allow something that's just so terrible? Look here. It's time to quit that questioning business. Look here. God allows some things. If you don't like that, you need to read your Bible, because obviously you haven't been reading it, because you would see that God allows some pretty scary stuff. Why? Because it's going to bring people to their knees. Why? Because ain't nobody praying anymore. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, and the desired of all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. Look here. Just because there's some bad things going on in the world doesn't mean that you've got to be affected by every little thing. But what you do got to do is you got to make your mind up. Are you on the fence or you're off the fence? You cannot have it both ways. You cannot have your foot in the kingdom of heaven and the other foot in the kingdom of hell. It doesn't work like that. That's why the Word of God says, now you choose this day. What do you want to live with? Do you want to live with a curse or do you want to live with a blessing? Do you want to live with life? And by the way, I said about that life, I'd give it to you in abundance. Or do you want to live in death? What do you want to live in? There's a choice that's going to be made. Last week we talked about the fact that God was causing a separation. He was dividing some things. Look here. The Word of God will divide spirit. The Word of God will divide things up in your life. You'll think you'll be going on just fine. And the Word of God will put something in your heart and you'll think, you know what, I got to make a change. There's some shaking going on. It's not all bad. You know what that shaking's done, Angel? On the days where I just said, God, I don't know how much more of this I can take. Lord, this is very discouraging. God tells me something when I say that to him, and I've learned to stop saying it, really. Because you know what he tells me? Kelly, you can take one more day. Well, he's right. What don't kill you make you stronger. The doctor said, why is your blood pressure high? I said, well, this is a 15-minute visit, so what are we going to do here? Talk about what's stressing me or figure out what's going on with something else? I ain't here to talk to you about my stress. I'm here to get a wellness physical. Don't mind that blood pressure. That's the devil. And it don't help that you put a scale out there to make me realize just how much the corona has had an effect. So let's not talk about blood pressure, because half of that's your fault. They're like, let's put you on the scale, and then right after we do that, check your blood pressure. That doesn't even make sense. Why would you do that? And it's not like a step-on scale. It looks like a cow scale. Like, what are we trying to weigh here? I mean, how big do you think I'm going to get? Why are you doing that to people? It's not of God. here to talk to you about my blood pressure. I got real problems. Like I said, this is a 15-minute visit. Let's get to the point. How well am I doing? And refill that birth control, because I ain't getting in on this made in quarantine business. We ain't doing that neither. Pastor Jeremy and I, we are done with that phase of our lives. Praise God. Because I still can't take neither one of my kids by myself anywhere. And I have a high respect for people that can. You get my drift. So God's saying here, I'm going to shake some things up. See, one more time, I'm going to cause a shaking. That shaking has already started. It's already started. All it took, people, I want you to get something up in your head. All it took for people to lay out of God's house was a virus. I'm not belittling the coronavirus. So everybody that's got your touchers and your feelers out and you're about to get offended, you get them things tucked back into your body, because that's not what I'm saying. So don't misinterpret it. However, back to the book that I should have been writing. Pastor, I am so scared to come to church. You're not going to be seeing me. Well, I'm normal. I'm like, okay, I respect that. If you're fearful, I want you to stay home, because, see, I'm not going to be the mean, bad bitty that caused you to come up in here and be uncomfortable. So I'm like looking after a Sunday night, looking on a good old Facebook. Oh, so-and-so's at a party at the lake, but they afraid to come to church. Look here. There's a shaking going on, and the people of God are going to remain solid. But see, there were people, the Word of God says, look here, some of them, they were among you, but they, by golly, they were never with you. I said, God, show me who's with us. God showed me pretty good. Guess what? All the yahoos, they're going to come back. They're going to get truly saved this time when they do. Amen. Amen? God says this right here. There's a shaking going on. There's a shaking going on. See, a lot of people, they don't like my style because it's too truthful. It's too real. Look here. It will not get any realer when you're standing on the great white throne judgment day. And God is, he's either going to tell you one of two things. Depart from me or welcome home. There is nothing else. There's no, well, and I'm not trying to motivate you out of fear. I'm trying to motivate you out of a pure reality. And right now what I see worldwide is believers are acting just like heathens. It ain't right. When I was a little girl, I waited forever to get to ride the school bus. I loved the school bus, and I loved the bus driver. His name was Junior. And me and Junior, we were like two peas in a pod. And if he didn't give me a job to do on the school bus, I was doing somersaults in the back, literally. The seats were closer, and I would do this, and then I would turn around and do a flip. He would say, Kelly, you're going to have to stop doing that. I wouldn't quit. So he gave me a job. That's what you do to people that have a little bit more energy than the normal folks. You give them jobs. So if I've come to you with a job, I'm trying to put all that energy into good use. Andy's going, amen. Look here, I got jobs enough for all you folks. I hope you want to serve your church. Anyways, I was on the school bus, and he had to give me a job because I was one of them kids that I wasn't going to listen to you unless you gave me a purpose. So the purpose was, this was back in the day before people were all, oh, my God, there's a kid standing up on the bus. Well, oh, my God, there's worse things that gone on in a bus, I promise you that. A That's where I learned everything terrible. I blame it on the bus. My job was to let the folks in. I grabbed a hold of that thing, and you turn it this way, and that weird door that's like was in two panels, it would pop open. The kids would step up two or three stairs, and they'd be in the bus. Well, I did that job with my whole heart. And I'd pull that door open, and I'd say, come on in, heathen. Junior would say, you can't say that. I said, look here. Everybody's playing sports with their parents. I go to church. That is the sport in the family. So I'd open that door. I said, come on in, heathen. Sit down. Well, that was training 101 because I'm still doing that. Come on in. We're going to love the fire out of you when you get up in here. You may walk in here, heathen, but you ain't leaving one. Why? Because we're going to show you there's something better for you. So here's what God has to say. He says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. Look here, on the days where I felt like a complete failure because everybody's doing everything but what they're supposed to be doing, God's saying, Kelly, don't walk in fear. I'm going to bring them back. But look here. What's gone on, Kelly, in the spiritual world in Parish Christian Center was necessary. There are painful things in your life. They were necessary. Sometimes we say, God, why did you let that happen? Look here. There's times in tragedy where something will come up in you, a pure, pure anointing that you could have never gotten without some type of trouble. We should not wait for catastrophe to call on the name of God. Many people, that's the only time he hears from us. Can't be that way. That's not called a relationship. That's called an acquaintance. Got this chick. Only time I ever hear from her is when she wants something. She don't even go to church here. I'm like, who's your pastor? Because no, I ain't running you up to Boonville. I done run some of my folks up to Boonville. I know that ain't nice, John. Look here. I am one person. And the devil would love to get me worn out so I can't do what I'm really supposed to do. And I ain't going to feel bad about it. It is what it is. So look here. He's causing a shaking, and this is what he's saying. Just because there's a shaking going on doesn't mean that my resources have gone dry. Doesn't mean that my provision has gone dry. Doesn't mean that the anointing has gone dry. The shaking that's going on has been God ordained. God has allowed it to happen for a purpose. You know what? What the devil intended for harm. Look here, there's people that's heard the gospel in this county. They would have never heard it. I was talking to somebody, and they said, real arrogantly, and see, I don't play that game. I'm young and spunky, and I don't play that game. Don't belittle my gig. She said, I heard a little something going on down there by y'all's church. This is when we was having outside church. I said, oh, sister, there was a big something going on. The gospel, the anointing was outside. It even got a hold of the dogs. And the people in the wheelchairs. Brother Matt, I had somebody come up on an electronic wheelchair just right up in my business, right in the outside service, and they say, my God, is she mad? And they said, no, this is just how she preaches. Getting ready to happen. He's going to get him an automated wheelchair. Glory. You can follow me with a tissue box. And he's supposed to be coming to church here. Look here, I ain't mad. This is called passion. You either want to be put to sleep in these services or you want to be riled up. Got to wake up. And if you can fall asleep in one of my services, then I'm going to leave you alone because you're probably tired. You know? Like, if you can fall asleep, I ain't going to hold that against you because look here, if you fall asleep in one of my services, you've earned that. You go ahead and you take that nap. It's probably God brought you in here to just get you sleeping and getting the word put in you. So the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. Stop looking back at what you had. Stop looking back at what you had. Stop looking back at what you had. The reason why you're looking back is because you ain't happy with what you got. God says, be happy with what you got because I want to give you more. But look here, you need to be happy with what you got. God didn't save you to make you a pauper or to make you have to be miserable. No, the silver is his, the gold is his, the anointing is his, the healing is his. It's all there. But you're going to have to choose which way you want to live. And then you're going to have to be consistent. It's all the inconsistency. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. How do we get little foxes out? Consistency. A lot of times people want some big explanation for all their troubles. Consistency. Consistency. Consistency will rein you in. It'll put you on the right path. Be consistent with the things that you know God's telling you to do. He'll give you more things to do. He'll straighten your path out when it was crooked. He'll enlarge your territory right in the middle of trouble. See, just because there's a pandemic going on doesn't mean that God can't provide for you. Doesn't mean God can't give you a brand new house right in the middle of a pandemic. Doesn't mean he can't give you a baby right in the middle of trouble. We got three people up in here pregnant. Don't get me off on that again. I love babies. I love them. And I want to hold them and I want to give them back. Little Sheridan put her head on my shoulder and I just thought, oh, this is great. Here you go, Crystal. That's all I need. It's like a little sweet sip of lemonade. I got my baby hug. I'm good. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord. Look here. There's been people and you've been in an unrest. You've been unsettled. God says, I want to grant some peace. I want to put some peace where there's been an unrest. I want to put some wholeness back into your life where you felt empty. I want to put just some restoration where you felt like you've been robbed of some things in your life. Everything that's being shaken right now is being shaken. What do you do when you realize that everything around you is shaking? You know what we got to do, Danielle? We got to just stand firm. We stand firm. We hold on to God. You get on that bull and you just ride it. Look here. That bull going to get tired. What is that called? That's called resisting the devil. And when we resist him, the word of God says he'll flee. There were people that rode that bull every week. They never fell off. The person operating the machine just got tired and turned it off. Why? Because they knew that person weren't being bucked off of that thing. It was either turn that off and make some more money or let that person hog it all night. Look here, the devil knows his days are numbered. He's not going to waste his time on you if you're holding on to Jesus. He's going to move on because he's got some limited days to mess with folks. Got it? So when you're on that bull and it's bucking you a little bit, look here. Hold on because it's going to get tired of messing with you. Next place for me is Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 14 through 28. There is indeed a shaking going on. What do we do? What do we do? See, it does no good to stand up here, look pretty, and tell you funny things. I got to give you something to build your life on. Here it is. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Everybody says, be holy. be holy. It's time for the believer to step up and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See, if you got a situation in your life and you want to see God move in that situation, if you're not seeing them how you want to see them, I'm not saying this is the problem, but what I'm saying is I want you to look at your life. Is there holiness in your life? We all have things going on, and some of those things we have not committed to God. If there's areas in your life and you say, I keep hitting a bump. Why do I keep coming back to this? Why do I struggle in this area? There's some holiness that wants to seep into that area and you haven't let it. Most of the time we haven't let it because we are fearful of change or we think that we know what God wants and we're going to help God. No, God don't need help. He just needs obedience. He just needs you to say, God, I'm going to wait. Here we go. See to it that no one misses the grace of God. That's what I'm doing today. I'm trying to see to it that none of y'all in here, that nobody on streaming misses God's grace. Why? Because it would be a crying shame. Why? Because the Word of God says, my grace is sufficient. There's more than enough. So it's my job to make sure that the people that are in here, they don't miss God's grace. How do I help you not miss it? I point you right there towards the cattle guard and I say, look here, straight is the gate, narrow is the way. Few there be that find it, find it, find it. Come to church. Stop giving me excuse after excuse and then let me see you at the lake. See, God won't bless that. He won't bless it. If he would bless it, I'd be at the lake on Sunday. I'm lying. I don't like to go to the lake. That requires being outside, which I also don't like. But there's other things I like watching Netflix. Don't get me off on Netflix. That's another discussion for another message. I always text Stephanie, have you watched this yet? Oh my gosh. That tiger dude is twisted. Yeah, the pastor done watched Joe Exotic. All the religious folks ain't gonna like that. Look here, that's called free entertainment at its fullest. And it's funny. Certain parts of it, certain of it's just twisted. I mean, it just is. So Hebrews chapter 12. Y'all ain't liking that Joe Exotic stuff. I'm going to get some hate mail. They're going to be like, I can't believe you said that in church. There's lots of stuff go on in church that make you really go cross-eyed. Let's keep it real. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Do you got a root of bitterness? Do you got a root of bitterness? Do you got a root of bitterness? I do. Let's keep it real. When I get by myself, there's like, you ever had a cat just scratching? You just wanted to pop that cat because you don't want it around you because it keeps scratching you. That's what the devil does. He'll scratch at that root. He'll scratch at that offense till it grows bigger and bigger and bigger. The Word of God says that those roots, they just defile many. See, sometimes all the devil has to do is just plant that seed of the root of bitterness and just get you going on that. It's not like he's got to cause a semi-truck to come and hit you. Most of the time, it's just putting a little thought in your little old head. Ruin your day, ruin your life, ruin your husband's day because you moody. Because the devil done got one over on you. Jeremy goes a lot of times, what is your problem? I don't even know, Jeremy. I don't even know. We got to get it figured out. Sometimes I'm like, I think I know why I'm this way today. He goes, man, I don't know. I'm glad you figured it out. You're rough. You're rough, girl. See that no one is sexually immoral. Thanks, Matt. See to it that nobody is sexually immoral. Nationwide, worldwide, if I could say what's eating at the church, sexual immorality of every kind. Of every kind. Why? Because the devil knows. See, we like to say, well, God knows. Look here. Yeah, he does. So does the devil. He knows. We're a nation crazed by sex. I can't believe the pastor's talking about this right now. Oh, yeah. I won't dance around it. You can't even watch a Hardee's commercial without seeing a half-naked woman. Now tell me, what does she have to do with the monster burger? Nothing. I'm over there watching Jeremy, and I'm like, boy, I know you ain't looking at that half-naked woman because I squash you. And I go find her, the little hussy, and I squash her too. Don't think I won't, because that's how I was made. I'm sweet and I'm cute, but don't let that fool you. I will straight up squash somebody. Yeah. Jeremy, I'll say, did you notice blah, blah, blah? If it's about a female, this is what he says. Men, take a note. No. No, I did not notice that. No, I didn't notice her skirt was too short. No. I didn't, Kelly. No, I didn't notice her blouse was too low. But I did notice how you look in your pants. You was looking pretty, honey. Men, play it smart. You about to get married. I hope you're listening to this because you know it's true. You need some notes. You ask that man. He's stayed alive for almost 12 years of marriage with me, and I'm crazy. I don't even mince words about it. You get me? Look here. One time we were standing in Walmart. This is a true story. I think this was right when we first got married. I've always been feisty. We were standing in the cleaning aisle. See, this is the crazy that I am. If you tick me off, I'll remember right where we was at. I'll remember what I was wearing. I'll remember what you was wearing. And I'll remember exactly what you said. Here's my sweet Jeremy, and we up in the middle of the Walmart in the cleaning aisle. I don't know why we was there. Don't clean nothing. Anyhow, we was there, and this big girl, she's bigger than Pastor Jeremy. She's about four times as big as I was. And I was skinnier back in the day. And she goes, she was ugly too. Not ugly, not how she looked, just the way she was talking. You could tell she was gruff. She goes, I wish you would just move your fat blankety blank out of the way. And I felt the devil done get up under my skin. And I whipped around. I thought, I don't care if you are five times as big as me. Me and you's about to have a discussion. I said, are you talking to my husband? No, girl. No. I'm talking to my kid behind your husband. Oh, there is a kid there. Okay. That's called a free pass. I was wrong. You wasn't talking to my husband like that. See, gang, nobody going to talk to my husband like that. Because I'm pretty gangster. If somebody's going to be mean to him, it's going to be me. And it's never paid off because God always corrects me when I start getting mean to Brother Jeremy. Why? Because he don't like that kind of thing. I've learned not to do that at night because I don't want to walk down the stairs again. I want to just be able to have a peaceful day and go to bed. Once I walk up the 14 stairs that we got, I don't want to walk down them just because I lost my cool and said something dumb. Because you know you're going to have to repent because you don't need to go to bed irritated. The problem, why do I try not to go to bed irritated? Because look here, here's what happens to me every time I do. When I go to bed irritated, I wake up irritated. Ask Dad. The other day he was around me, he goes, "Oh, my God, I think I'm just going to give you some time. I'm going to go." I called him back later. "Look, I went to bed irritated, and I woke up irritated. I don't know what my problem is. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm a jerk, and I know it. And I'm trying to work through it." Go to bed mad, you're going to wake up mad. Why? Because the devil wants to just get whatever he can get. So you have not come, or afterwards, as you know, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched, and that is a burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear that was what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." See, we're talking about not refusing God. And they were saying, this is what used to happen. "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men." See, don't be judging. That's God's work. "To the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven?" See, God is warning us. He's given us some warning. Look here. You feeling a shaking? This is the last day. When it's time to have the baby, there's no going back. When I got ready to have Carson Paul, he said, "You ready?" I said, "No, I don't want to." He said, "There's no turning back. When you're ready, when you've went through the labor," see, what are we going through right now? A shaking. It's going to get closer and closer together, like pains in labor. It's all coming to a point. If you're a believer, God is requiring certain things from you. Be holy as I am holy. Get rid of sexual immorality. Stop putting everything above God. We all have excuses. At the end of the day, it's your choice. It's your choice. And if you are one of them people where you don't like to make choices, you've made your choice by not making it. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. We just read that at that time. His voice shook the earth, but now he has promised. See, God's made a promise. Once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. See, Jesus is going to come down. He's going to take from the world his own. It'd be real good if you's ready. You don't want to stay because you wasn't ready. You want to go. You want to get on that bus. And you want to go. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken. See, there's people, Angel. What we have are good Christian believers. But there's things in their life God ain't happy with. And the shaking that's going on is God's trying to shake them to walk away from that thing. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken. What is being shaken in your life? Crystal, I have a problem. I get sick of people sometimes. I've had it my whole life. I blame it on my childhood, growing up in a ministry. Really, it's just a character defect. God ain't happy with that. You can't be a pastor and get sick of people all the time. So God will put you in a profession where you've got to work on that. He's given me lots of opportunity in this whole year. Sometimes I walk up in here and I go, Kelly, you will not bash people over the head with God's word. You will present it. You will give them a choice, and you will walk away. Kelly, you've made your choice. Don't be mad at people when they don't make the choice you made. Everybody has a choice. You don't have to get all worked up, Kelly, when they don't choose me. But I'm going to get worked up if you didn't give them a choice. The world is full of pastors that have just preached to get the numbers. We're going to get the numbers back, and it's not going to be because we're sugarcoating. It's going to be because people know that the truth is going to set them free. When you come up in here, God's going to set you free if you don't get offended. If you get offended, look here. There are lots of churches you can go to, and they're going to prophesy to you some smooth words. But you won't get it here. Why won't you get it here? Because I really love each and every single person that walks through this door. I don't want to see people in hell. So where does that leave this? Well, it leaves it like this. You get the truth when you come up in here. The people that come back, I know that they love truth because they get it. And they came back. So it says, the words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. See, when everything in this life has just shook you all to heck, what's left of you? What's left of you? Are you left with a love of God that says, God, I've been through it, but God, I'm standing on and I'm holding on to you. I'm holding on to you. See, there is a shaking going on. For some, Michelle, it done shook them plumb out of a relationship with God. Why? They weren't hungry for it to begin with. Why? Because they were coming out of just a routine. All the routine people, they ain't here. It's that simple. See, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. God's looking for people that love him and that are going to put him first. Because when it mattered the most, he puts you first. When it mattered the most, he puts you first. There's somebody that I'm extremely offended at. And it's like God just keeps trying to get me to not wash over that. And every time I get to talking about this person, Stephanie, I say, you know what? I'm offended because when I needed them the most, they weren't there. Look here. We got to get over those little foxes because they'll spoil everything. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. See, you're receiving something at the end of your life. What's it going to be? We all are. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. See, we're shaken on this earth. Why? Because we are not of this world. We're going through this world. And in this life, you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulation. But where you're going, there is no trial. There is no tribulation. There are no tears. You're not going to a kingdom that can be shaken in any type of way. We're living in the devil's kingdom right now. His days are very numbered. So are yours. Your days are numbered. Ask God to establish every step. He orders them ask them to establish it. See, it's like when you sit down at the restaurant and you say, I want a bacon cheeseburger, and I don't want them fries burnt. Well, that waitress has got to do something for you to get your bacon cheeseburger. Have you ever had somebody lose your order and you're sitting down there and you're waiting for your food and you're like, I don't think it's coming. Well, that ain't how this is. You're putting in an order by how you're living your life. Whatever you get, you bought it. You bought it. Sometimes Carson Paul's fixing to get a punishment. Mommy, I'll be good. We're past that point. We're past that point. You bought this. This is what you're getting. Make sure what you're purchasing is what you want. Sometimes we make purchases just to tide you over till you can get what you really want. Don't do that in your life. Don't do that in your life. It won't work out. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. Be thankful. During this corona thing, God said, Kelly, I want you to be thankful. Thankful for what? All the trouble? Yep. Kelly, I'm working it out for you good because there's some things that need to come off of you, and the only way I can get them off is just to shake. Kelly, come on. I know you hard-headed and dumb, but come on. Let's get a shook off. I got to a point where I loved being outside because I couldn't see who was there and who wasn't there. And then I could go after church and eat my supper and my lunch and not worry where Sally Sue was. Because I didn't know if she was there or not. See? Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably. Worship God acceptably and with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. He is a consuming fire. That's not a bad thing. You got something in your life and you think, God, I'm having a hard time laying this down. I'm having a hard time getting rid of this. He is a consuming fire. Hand it over. Hand it over to Him. It's better than not working on it at all. Hand it over. God, I've got a problem with this. God, I give you this day. Last place for me, 1 Peter. Chapter 4, verse 1. We're talking about a shaking going on. Why are we talking about that? Because it's what's going on in our lives. We ain't going to talk about sunflowers and roses. We're living up in the weeds and the bushes season, so we're going to deal with the weeds and the bushes. I picked out flowers yesterday at Walmart, and the guy said, he kept pointing me towards flowers, and I said, look, I done told you I'm not a flower girl. I don't want to see no more flowers. Let's look at them succulents, because I kill flowers. Let's look at something I can keep alive. Miss Mary can tell you because she's been helping me. 1 Peter chapter 4, living for God. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for the evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. See, why are you living? Why are you living? Is it for the will of God? For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose. Have you spent enough time? Have you spent enough time? See, you have. You have. You spent enough time on that. You have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of deception or dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. You ever realize when you get up in the same mess that you got up out of, you feel like, ugh, was it like that when I was in it, or am I just seeing it differently now? No. That's how it really was. You just didn't realize it because you was engrossed in it. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Y'all tell me, it's near. It's near. We hear. Therefore, be clear-minded. See, you can't have a clear mind sipping on every little problem that you got. You're going to get drunk off your problems. Quit going throughout the day. How do you get drunk on your problems? You sip on them all throughout the day. How do we sip on them? Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, my God. It's not working out. Well, you have a day of that. You're going to be drunk on your problem. What happens when you get drunk on your problem? In your mind, the problem just became bigger than God. Ain't nothing bigger than God. Quit getting drunk off your problem. Renew your mind. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Be clear-minded and self-controlled. Why? So you can pray. So you can pray. Do you ever have a problem praying? I do. I'll be trying to pray, and hear that little thought of worry starts creeping in. I'll be mid-sentence praying, Lord, please help me. Please help me with these kids. God, please help me with the church. Oh, why was she not there? Did I say something wrong? Did I do something? No, wait a minute. I was praying. Lord, please help me. See? Be clear-minded so you can pray. Anybody else ever been praying, and then all of a sudden you're praying, and then you... Wait a minute. How did we get off on this? Be clear-minded. Don't sip on your problem. So that you can pray. And above all, love each other deeply. Love each other deeply. The problem is we've stopped loving people deeply, and we've started loving them on a surface level when they're doing right, when they hadn't ticked us off, when they done everything that we thought they should do. Look here, you ain't always right. You ain't that other person. Stop getting mad when they don't handle things the way you would handle them. If it really bothers you that much, be clear-minded so you can pray for them. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Love covers over a multitude of sins. There's something in us we want to expose every time somebody does something wrong. I'm going to tell you something. That don't always help. But love helps every time. Love that covers over a multitude of sins. See, anybody can expose something. Be somebody that'll cover. Why? Because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. There's different forms of grace. If God's grace, in its, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. I did a devotion the other day, and I was talking about piano playing. And I said, God, put your hands over my hands because I'm not musically inclined. If you're somebody that you're not inclined to shut your mouth, say, God, put your hand over my mouth. You know I'm a big mouth. Help me to just love. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides. See, so many times we say, I can't do that because I don't really have that. I don't have that gift. Look here. God will provide. God will provide. I don't have to do a huge altar call for all of this because it's very simple. Wonderful sound booth people, please put on my music. How do you end a service like this? Just like this. Work on it. Work on it. Don't be one of those people that come up in here and you sit down and you're inspired. You're thinking, I'm going to work on this. And you leave out of there and you never think about it again. I know it was truth. I know it was hard truth. The most important thing is that when you leave, you carry the truth and you act on it. So you can give an altar call every single time. And you'll get people every single time to say they're going to work on something. I know I preached what I was supposed to preach. It is what it is. I'm done with that part of this job for today. I want to pray for y'all. Y'all stand up. We're going to have a blessing. We've got food and produce in the back of the church. Please get some. Please get a lot. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for every single person, God, that's heard this message. God, for every one of them that'll hear it on a CD. God, for every one of them that'll hear it on Facebook. For everyone that will hear it on our app, God, I thank you for it. God, I ask like never before that you help them to act and to move and to do. Lord, let them be doers of the word and not just hearers only, God. In Jesus' name, amen.